What an honor it is to be here with you. I'm so honored to be here. My family and I, we're so glad to be here in Orange Park, Florida. And it's quite the journey to get here, but we're glad to be here, and the devil can't stop us now. Amen. Some of you, you fought all kinds of things trying to get to church today, but I believe we're going to figure out why today. I give honor to Pastor Thompson. I give honor to your first lady, this first family. I honor them. What a great job Sister Thompson always does, ushering us into the presence of the Lord. Give honor to her, this great praise team, these musicians. If you'll take your Bibles, we will go to Matthew chapter number 24. Matthew chapter number 24. And I will start with verse number 3. Again, I am so honored to be here with you. And I will never forget a statement that your pastor made the last time that I had the privilege of being here with you. And I don't quite remember if it was behind the pulpit or if it was to me personally, but I remember that he said, one of these Sundays will be my last. I wrote that down. It stuck with me. That stuck with me as an evangelist. And I've approached every pulpit different since, I believe. Because we are so close to the end that this time may actually be my last. We got to treat every revival like it is our last. So what are you going to do today? We going to take it easy today? We going to lay out of church tonight? We going to wait to go to the altar next time? We going to let somebody else worship? Or is there somebody else that's going to say, I'm going to step out today? Whew. I'm going to step out because this may be my last time to get it right. And I'm going to get it right. Let's lift our hands and pray right now. God, we take authority over every devil inside and outside. God, we take authority over every opposing spirit. God, in the name of the Lord, we bind, God, every distraction in the name of the Lord Jesus. Matthew chapter number 24, the third verse says, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Somebody say the end. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Don't you ever let anybody tell you that the name doesn't matter. Ooh, the name matters. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Verse number 35 says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour, somebody say that day. That's not just any day, that's the most important day. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field. One shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. One shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready. Oh, I want to be ready this morning. Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. My subject for you today will be this: when God shuts the door. When God shuts the door. Let's lift up our hands, set our Bibles down, and cry out to the Lord. I believe that the Holy Ghost wants to shake every single one of us in this room here today. I wish an intercessor would begin to intercede right now. God, I'm here, Lord, in your divine will. God, you have sent us to this church to preach this word here this morning. Oh, God, I pray, Lord, oh, that you would allow me to do your work here today. Help me to help somebody in this room. Oh, I wish somebody make contact with your neighbor right now. Somebody make contact with your neighbor. Grab them by the hand. Put your hand on their shoulder. And I want you to pray in the Holy Ghost. Go beyond English right now. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on, church. There's something happening in the spirit world. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Oh, God.
Clap your hands to the Lord as you're seated across the room here today. When God shuts the door. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all record the pieces of that meeting at the Mount of Olives where the disciples approached Jesus wanting answers for things to come. In Matthew's account, Matthew 24:3, it tells us that they came unto him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? I cannot think of a greater way to get an answer from Jesus than coming out from among the crowds and the multitudes and meeting with him privately. The Bible said that they came unto him privately saying, is there anybody that knows the power of getting alone with Jesus in prayer? Many want answers, but few will get to that secret place and cry out in that place of prayer for answers. The word says that they came to him privately, and this approach caused Jesus to pour out an answer that would last for the next 94 verses, spreading over the next two chapters. I've got to tell you that Jesus has an answer for every single one of your hard questions. He just wants somebody to desire Him more than they desire all of their answers. And He would pour out such an abundance of wisdom and understanding that we could not handle all that He really had. One of the biggest lies that hell has ever dealt you is that God doesn't have an answer for your question, or that God doesn't have an answer for your problem. Let me tell you what I know. Answers are a byproduct or a result of a prayer closet. Answers are a byproduct or a result of a prayer life and crying out to Him. Some of us are here today and we're asking our questions and we're chasing our answers, but we've got to adjust our pursuit on this Sunday morning and put our crosshairs back on Jesus and say, God, I've got to run after You with everything that is within me. What would happen in the hearts, in the minds, and in the lives of the people here, at the Pentecostals of Orange Park, if we would make up our mind, we're about to get along with Jesus, and we're about to lift up our prayer. We're about to cry aloud and spare not. I wish somebody in this place would lift up your hands and say, God, here in these revival services, I'm about to revive my prayer life like I never have before. We got to get to that place in prayer where we get caught up. Oh, and we go beyond English, and we go beyond Spanish, and we go beyond what we know. Oh, somebody stand on your feet and throw your hands up and say, God, I'd love to have a miracle. I'd love to have a blessing. But more than that, I've got to have You. I've got to have You this morning. I got to have Your voice. I got to have Your presence. I got to have Your touch. Somebody seek Him. Somebody seek Him right now. Woo! Hear me today. What a question that they would ask the Savior that day. What a question that they would bring to Him. They would ask him, what shall be the sign of Thy coming and the end of the world? What a question they would ask Him that day. And it is the answer that I must preach about today. I've come to preach about the coming of the Lord. I pray we're still looking for it. I pray we're ready for it. I pray we're not playing with God. I pray we're not housing secret sin. I pray we're ready. We are closer than we have ever been to the coming of the Lord. Oh, Brother Thompson, there's going to be a Sunday that's going to be my last. I don't know if it's today, but I've got to treat this one today like it is, because we're living that close to the coming of the Lord. Jesus spoke of our day in Matthew 24, where He says, take heed that no man deceive you. Jesus said that the last days would be marked by a spirit of great deception. Let me tell you, I've seen people walk away from God that I never thought would walk away from God. I've seen folks fall into deception. I've seen people let go of holiness. I've seen people let go of Jesus' name baptism. I've seen people say, well, you can receive the Holy Ghost without speaking in tongues. Hey, I rebuke that lying devil.
in the name of Jesus. I've got to tell you here today, there is a spirit of deception that is knocking on the door of my house, and it's knocking on the door of your house. It's knocking on the door of every church in the world. It's saying, Pastor, why don't you let that go? Pastor, maybe that's not that big of a deal. Why don't we lay that down so we could get... Hey, let me tell you what I know. Jesus said, you better be careful. I can't just go and make some flippant decision. I can't just go and decide to let go of something and say I'm going to live a lesser standard. Why? Because he said, oh, you better know this, Simon. You better know this, John. You better know this. Oh, Mark, you better hear me. Matthew, you need to know that there's going to be great deception. In that day, he said, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Let me read that again. He said, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Let me put that in English for you. That doesn't mean people's going to be in the street saying, I'm Jesus. But you know what that means? That means that they're going to sing about the name of Jesus. They're going to sing how there's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. They're going to sing about the name. They're going to cry out to the name, but they won't baptize in the name. They're going to talk in tongues in the, oh, and they're going, you're going to feel the Spirit. But there's a reason. There's a reason that he said, the hour cometh and now is that the true worshipers should worship the Father in spirit and in truth. It's not good enough for me to just talk in tongues. It's not good enough for me to have a little spiritual experience. It's not good enough for me to have a big spiritual experience. You know what we're dealing with in this world? We're living in a world where everybody talks in tongues. Where every denomination starting to talk in tongues. But let me tell you, don't you dare be fooled. There's a deception that's coming to this world. You got to stand up and say, I'm standing on the rock that does not move. I'm standing on the name. I'm standing on the truth. Hey, we are people of the name. We don't just sing about the name. We wear the name. We don't just talk about the name. We baptize in the name. I got to preach to you today and tell you. He said you'll be able to go anywhere you want and get any flavor of church you want. Whew. You know what I know? If there's something in that church that don't rub me wrong, if there's something in that church that don't come against my flesh, if there's something in that church that made me say, well, I don't, if there's something in that church that don't challenge me, I'm at the wrong church. Oh God, I feel something coming up on me today. I want to tell you, it's the last days. Somebody's got to stand up and say, God, I'm going to be sold out. I'm going to live for you like I've never lived for you before. I'm going to worship you like I never worshiped you before. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Hear me right now. I come to tell you, we are so close to the end. Oh, I couldn't imagine being in the shoes of those missionaries that are over there, Pastor Thompson. We better pray. We better cover them. We better hold them up. I've seen it. I've seen it across all social media. Pray for peace. Pray for peace. Pray for peace. Let me tell you something. I'm not here to discourage anybody, but I've come to tell you, at some point, this thing has to wrap up. I'm praying that peace would come. Hey, let me tell you, you know what the word says? The word says that in the last days it shall wax worse. And in what everybody thinks is going to get better, it'll wax worse and worse. What's that mean? That means when there's going to be a time that we wake up and the news is worse than it was yesterday. Oh, and the next day it's worse than that. And the next day it's worse than that. I come to tell you, all you've got to do is open up this Bible to realize that we're living right smack dab in the middle of biblical prophecy. What have I come to tell you? I've come to tell you, you don't have time to sit on a pew responseless. You don't have a time to sit through a worship service and not move. Young people, we don't have a time to sit on these front rows and look at the pastor and look at the preacher like they've lost their mind. We've got to get in the altar and we've got to get it right and we got to pour it out. We got to pour it out to the Lord and say, God, this may be my last, because it is the last day. Said, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. What was he saying? He said there would be an attack against the church. They would attack everything about the church. It would be great deception. There would be wars and rumors of wars. There would be an attack against the church. There would be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. We are there.
You know, I don't have to try to pull something out of the hat and try to connect dots that ain't there today. But I've been so stirred for the last several weeks, seeing the developments of everything that's happened. There's something you said today. You said that they were putting that Russia was putting their nuclear department on high alert, and something hit me, because somewhere while there's nuclear missiles and nuclear attacks that are on high alert, the church is on low alert. We better get our house in order. We better take every opportunity we have. Why? Because he's coming. Hey, he's coming. Somebody's going to hear this word. It's going to play over in your mind. The scary part is after he's coming, somebody's going to remember there was a preacher that was saying he's coming. He's coming, he's coming, he's coming. And I cannot play church anymore. Playtime is over. We are at the coming of the Lord. Somebody throw up your hands and say, God, I got to be ready.
He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away.
That's why your man of God makes such a big deal about this book. Because when everything else passes away, them words are already written in heaven. Whew. That's why. When everything else passes away, holiness will still be. When everything else passes away, the name of Jesus will still be. When everything else passes away, oh, his ways, oh, his ways, his will, his power, it will still be. But I've got to tell you, he goes on in the next scripture. He said, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Let me tell you, I know what it's like for God to reveal a secret to me. I know what it's like to be in prayer and God to show me something, or God to speak. Some of you, you've been there. You've been in them prayer meetings where you were in the Word and something jumped out to you that you never saw. I want to tell you, God is all about revealing His secrets. But Scripture shows us He is bound to not reveal one secret. It is God's secret. Oh, no angels know. Nobody knows. Nobody's overheard this one. But this secret is within God. God Himself, and nobody knows. Oh, He said, of that day, what day? The coming of the Son of Man, the coming of the Lord. He said, no man knows. No, not the angels. That means every prediction you heard is wrong. That means every book you've read is wrong. I want to tell you, there's only one that knows, and that is God Himself. But I've got to tell you, in the midst of Him saying that, Jesus makes a statement that we've got to see today. He says, not one of you will know. But then He makes a statement. He says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. What was Jesus said, I want you to know. He said, nobody knows, but no man knows, no angel knows. But then he takes out a gauge and he hands us all a gauge. He said, nobody will know. But if you will take this gauge and put it up to your day, however it reflects, however many parallels are there, that's how you know how close you really are. He said, but as the days of Noah, somebody say Noah. As the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So I take you today to Genesis chapter number 6 and verse number 5. It says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. He said that the earth was full of the works of the flesh. The earth was full of sin. The earth was full of wicked, ungodly imaginations. That means when man wasn't sinning, they were dwelling on their next opportunity to sin. It was a world of sin. It was a world of lawlessness. It was a world of anything goes. Honey, if you cannot see the parallels of where we are living today, oh, put wars and rumors of wars aside. Oh, let's just look at the gauge that he gave us. Oh, being compared to Noah's day. This is what said in Genesis 6 and 6, where the Lord repented of making man. Oh, it was a world of absolute wicked, wickedness. And it said in verse number 9, in the midst of it all, it says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Lord, have mercy. In the midst of a wicked world, in the midst of sin, in the midst of the work of the flesh, there was a man that stood up and said, I'm not going to march to the beat of the rest of the world, but I know what it takes to be saved, and I'm going to honor him, and I'm going to walk with him, and I'm going to serve him, and I'm going to cry out in the midnight hour. And one man, because of his devotions, we see that God says, I'm going to cause you to build a boat. Verse 11 says, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Somebody say violence. We're seeing violence in the news right now. But I've got to tell you, you've got to see this. The Bible says the earth was filled with violence. And verse 13 says, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. This is what happened. God had seen the sin. God had seen the flesh. God had seen the wickedness. God had seen all the lawlessness and the ungodly imaginations. He had seen all of them things. But there is one thing that was the tipping point for our God, and that was violence. Somebody say violence. Whenever man began to destroy himself, that was when God said, all right, I will destroy them with the earth. Hear me today. We know what's going on in the world. We know what's going on in the news. We know the wars and the rumors of wars. But it was not long ago that me and my family, we were preaching in Oklahoma, and I had to reroute and go a different route, because down a certain highway, interstate, there was bumper to bumper traffic, nobody moving, and they had guns and hammers busting out people's windows. Oh, I want to tell you, there's a lot of reasons people protest. There's a lot of reasons people do a lot of things, and I'm not here to stand for or against anything today. What I've come to show you is that whatever it is, it's still violence. And the Bible
Bible said that when God looked at it, when God saw it, it caused something to come up in his heart and said, oh, I didn't like the wickedness. I didn't like the sin. I didn't like all these things. But violence is causing judgment to come to that place. Violence is causing judgment to come to the earth.
Do we see the parallels of where we are? Famines and pestilences, wars, rumors of wars, deception, violence. We are right here smack dab in the middle of the coming of the Lord. I've got to preach to you today and tell you, you cannot afford to just sit through this service. Hear me right now. I've got to preach to you a point. I've got to preach to you an important point about Noah's day and what happened in Noah's day, because the Bible says that, oh, that our day, or that the coming of the Son of Man would be like Noah's day. So if we are here, that means our day will be like his day. That means it will end like their day. Preacher went on a long time preaching about it. Till it was an hour where men thought not. It wasn't long ago. It was during the holidays. I was sitting at a dinner table with some family, some extended family. And I'm talking about somebody that knew the truth, that was raised up knowing the truth. I heard them speak up and say, oh, I don't believe in all that Jesus is coming business. She said, I've heard that my whole life. I looked at her, I said, hey sis, you know what the word says? I said, you're fulfilling biblical prophecy right now. She said, why? I said, because the word says there's going to be an hour that they think not. There's going to be an hour where people don't believe it anymore. There's going to be an hour where people aren't looking for it anymore. Oh, I'm preaching about this, and there's people in this room that said, oh, I don't know about all that, preacher. Come on, you're stretching a little bit. Hey, I haven't stretched anything. I'm preaching to you biblical prophecy here today, and I've come to tell you we're smack dab in the middle of it. We're smack dab in the middle of it, and we cannot play with God. But there is an element that happens here that I've got to shed light on. And that is, the Bible said in Genesis 7:16, and they that went in male and female of all flesh, talking about those that went in the ark, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. That salvation was obedience based. He said, as they went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded them. I mean, somebody could have tried all they wanted to say, we're going to start our own boat over here. We're going to start our own ark. We're going to do our own thing over here. But you know what? It would not have worked, because this was commandment based. If someone was going to be saved, it was going to be because you went into the ark that had the dimensions right. Oh, Jesus. That had every floor level right. Had every measurement right. And here we are in 2022 saying, Pastor, why in the world are you telling me what to have in my house and not in my house? Do you know that everything that was supposed to be in that ark was mentioned in the Word of God? God told him, you're going to have this. If it's not in there, you might as well leave it out, because there ain't room for it. You're gonna make it with pitch within and without, so nothing on the outside can get in and nothing on the inside can get out. What was he saying? He was saying, if you're gonna be saved, you've gotta go through the ark. It was obedience based, just like today's salvation is obedience based. Except the man be born of the water and of the Spirit, until he walks into them waters of baptism, and has the name spoken over him, until he repents and is filled with the Holy Ghost. He cannot be saved. You can't stretch this. You cannot stretch it this way or that way. starting some other church, doing it however you want to do it, is the equivalent of somebody building another ark with their own dimensions and their other ways. You can't do it that way. I've come to preach to somebody. You've had lies pulling on your mind. You've had family pulling at your... Why don't you just come over here? Why don't you change churches? Why don't you try a different way? It's not as hard. Hey, let me tell you. It's not about how hard it is. It's about how safe it is. I gotta be safe. I've gotta be saved. I gotta be who He wants me to be. The Bible says that the Lord shut him in. Can I tell you, it was there that some were shut in and others were shut out. The hand of God shut the door. I've got to preach to you today and tell you, there's much that's said about when God opens doors. Well, I'm thankful God opened a door for me. He opened a door for my ministry. He opened a door for my family. He opened a door on my job. Oh, we're walking through a season. There's an open door here. There's an open door for blessing. Hey, let me tell you, there's a lot that's said about the open door. I believe even at our general conference this past year, they talked about the wide open door. Let me tell you, I believe in open doors. But today the Lord has sent me to preach about what happens when He shuts it. I believe in opportunities. I believe in blessings. I believe, oh God, have mercy. I don't have enough time to tell you all the testimonies of the doors that the Lord has opened for me and my family. Oh, in our homes, in our ministry. Oh, in our family. But let me tell you what I know. There is coming a day where all that we feel... all the mercy that we feel. All the beckoning, all that drawing. You know, somebody in this room is being real resistant right now. Kind of pushing back against everything that I say. You know what? There's going to be a day that won't be anymore. There's going to be a day where no preacher pulls for your soul. There's going to be a day where no preacher comes with a word. Oh God. Where no preacher comes with a word to pull for a soul. I'm talking about a day, oh, where that door is slammed shut and there's no more openings and there's no more repentance. I come to tell you, the coming of the Lord, the closing of the door, will sound a whole lot like a trumpet. When Gabriel sounds the call, at that moment, that door of opportunity will be shut. Pastor Thompson, I've only been to this church 3 times, but I cannot imagine walking into this room and not feeling the presence of God. Has anybody ever walked into this room and not felt God moving at some way? You haven't. You don't know what it's like. You don't have a clue what it's like to walk into this house and not feel a drawing, not feeling a beckoning. But I gotta tell you, when God shuts the door on that day, just like He did on the days of Noah, there will be no mercy. There will be this flow, this tingly feeling that we feel like we can cut with a knife. It's not going to be there. There will be no drawing. There will be no pulling. There will be no chance. There will be no opportunity. There will be no beckoning. There will be no pleading of a preacher. There will be no opportunity to change. I come to tell you, when God shuts the door, mercy stops. There is no more power in baptismal waters. I tell you what will happen when God shuts the door. Pastor Thompson, the greatest inflow of guests and backsliders and sinners that you've ever seen. I heard y'all knocked over 480 doors or something. Hey, let me tell you, when God shuts the door on this thing, there'll have to be no doors knocked. But everybody else's doors are going to be open. And they're going to beat the doors down of this church. They're going to bust the locks down. And they're going to be all over this altar. And they're going to be crying out for mercy. But the scary thing is, when God shuts the door, there will be no more mercy. Oh, I believe that one that's walked away that used to sing on the praise team, I believe they'll find a mic and they'll get up and they'll try to sing of His goodness and sing of His mercy, but they'll feel nothing. They'll get to the piano and they'll sing of His power and they'll sing, oh, how there's power in the name of Jesus, but there'll be nothing there. That preacher will get up and he'll grab the mic. That preacher, oh, that used to preach years ago and lost out with God, he'll get up and try to read a scripture and talk of His goodness. But I've got to tell you, there will be no more mercy when He shuts the door. It is no more. Somebody lift your hands and pray right now. We've got one question we need to answer today. That is, will I be shut in or will I be shut out? Will I be shut in with the church? Or will I be shut out with the lost? Hey, this should make us get rid of every excuse. This should make us get rid of every sense of pride. I don't care who sees me. I don't care what somebody thinks. I've got to cry out. Come on, somebody cry out to the Lord right now. That same door that was shut on the obedient is going to shut on the disobedient. That same door that's going to secure the saint, oh, is going to close out on the sinner. That season of opportunity, it will be over. I've come to tell you. Somebody lift your hands and cry out right now. No looking around. Close your eyes. Somebody cry out. Hear me. I got to say one thing. I want you to put this scripture up there. Genesis chapter number 6. Verse number 3. Genesis 6 and 3. It's one of the scariest scriptures in the Bible. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. What's that mean? That means, oh, there's going to be a day where God ain't pulling on me like He is right now. There's going to be a day where God, there's going to be a day where my eyes aren't weeping, and there's going to be a day where I can't find repentance. There's going to be a day, it's going to be a day much like Esau, where it don't matter what you say, and it don't matter what you cry out, you won't be able to find repentance. What am I saying? What do we do about it? We got to make a move now. What do we do about it? I got to cry now. I got to get to an altar now. I can't wait. I can't hesitate. I can't play with God. Because I feel Him and He's pulling on me now, and His spirit ain't always going to strive with me, but now that I feel it and now that He's pulling, now that I see everything going on in the world and I feel my heart being pulled to an altar, I must go before He shuts the door. Somebody better get to an altar. Somebody better cry out to Him. I'm challenging everybody in this room. Search your heart. Search your soul. Get to an altar and say, God, I'm repenting. We're going to have an opportunity for a number of things. We're going to have an opportunity for baptism. We're going to have an opportunity for miracles. We're going to have an opportunity for a lot of things. But right now I'm preaching about the greatest opportunity to man. And that is the opportunity to repent. The opportunity to change.
Come on, young man, that's it. Cry out to him. Come on right now.